Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio, we are here with Sylvain George for Noir Obscure, Au revoir, Sine, and Port Où. Sorry for my French, it's not my mother tongue.
You're
so, my first question about your movie is, you know, the theme of immigration is, and the struggle of these boys seems to be at the core of your filmmaking. And so, how did you come to focus on this theme? And what draws you to explore the experiences of these migrants through your story?
Yes, indeed. I work especially about the policies about immigration in Europe. But there is a difference between working on the policies and working with the migrant. For me, it's very interesting. The migrant, for me, doesn't exist. You know, I don't want to make a kind of essentialization of this person, you know. So the generic term migrant, poverty or something like that are not at all the topic which I work about. So I work about public policies. You know, the policies about immigration is the most specific policies about I'm interested. But first at all, it's some public policies which a lot of things that could be after deploy in the main policies for all the people. So it's very interesting to work about the policies about immigration to understand that some dispositives, some things are tested in this kind of policies, and the dispositive can be after applied for the main policies. So so why I choose the policies about immigration? Because when I start to work on this theme in France, this question was really, really, really instrumentalized. It was in 2006. But even more, when I was, for example, a young children and after a teenager, I always heard this sentence, "It's the fault of the stranger, it's the fault of the foreigner." If if some people are unemployed, it's the fault of the foreigner, etc. So the instrumentalization of the question of immigration and the discrimination about some kind of people are always be present in my life in France. So when I start my activity as a filmmaker, I thought it will be interesting to work on this topic, and my purpose is to try to understand what are the policies about immigration in Europe, in different countries, in different parts in Europe, but not only with the text, because we are living in society of media, so it's very easy to find the main text about this kind of policies. In the European Union, in each state of the country, you can find some things. No, my purpose is to try to understand the this kind of policies by the consequences of the policies on the ground, on the body, on the people in different parts of the European Union. How this kind of policies can impact the person, how this kind of policies can perhaps make a kind of reconfiguration of the ground, of the location, of the narrative, of the body, the way to move to the people. And in the same time, how the people are concerned by directly or more indirectly by this kind of policies. So who apply this kind of policies on the ground, the police, etc. But also the person in migration, for example, on the way of migration, how this kind of person react, are impacted or react, how they can manage their life with this kind of policies, and how perhaps they can act differently and by their gesture and trajectory open the world perhaps to something new, to perhaps make a kind of contestation not necessarily articulated in a rational terms, you know, but only by the movement, the voice, the thing, how they can perhaps propose some new way to habit the world.
And actually, you know, according to this, Noir Obscur present the city of Melilla.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like a meeting place for diverse characters, diverse story, and, like, destinies, too. And, you know, can you discuss the significance of this city, why you choose Melilla this time, and is is there a part of your backdrop of the city that is reflects also the broader issues that you were talking about right now? And, you know, I remember that you, like, at the very beginning of the film, there is a phrase on the wall that is by a poetress, a Spanish poetress, but I don't remember the name. So I don't know if it was something that you wanted to show that is part of the story of, you know, the feminism too, because you are talking about the destinies of a lot of male characters, but besides, there are all the stories of their families, so the mothers and daughters and things.
So I chose Melilla. I start my work about this kind of policies, about immigration, you know, in Europe, by a work in the north of France, Calais. So I, now it's a very famous place since 2016, but the situation in this place are very complicated and violent for the person in migration since many years, and especially since 2000. So I was there in between 2007 and 2011, and I made two feature films in this place. And after, I wanted to follow, to continue, sorry, my work. And there are a part of the policies in Europe that we call the externalization of the European policies. How some country can make some agreement with some other country outside of Europe to manage the trajectory of the person in migration. For example, Spain managed some agreement with Morocco, Italia with Libya, you know. So I choose Melilla because it's a very, very interesting place that I heard for the first time in 2005. It's a place with her sister, Ceuta, which are two, the last colony, the last Spanish colony in Africa, in Morocco, but also in Africa, and the last colony, European colony. So it's very interesting. In the same time, these two places are of course Spanish, so it's a border between Spain and Morocco, but it's also a border between Europe and Africa. And it's and Melilla also. So the fact to be a border is very important because a lot of people, of course, who haven't the possibility to come in a regular way, with a legal way, in Europe, try to reach Europe by this town. You know, the politics of the visa are very restrictive. Some people from different countries haven't the possibility to have the visa, so they have the obligation to use some illegal way. And Melilla is one of the doors to try to enter in Europe. You know, so this place, Melilla, is very particular for that. You have a lot of people from Sub-Sahara or Morocco or Tunisia who try to come in Europe by Melilla. Melilla called that the new barbar, you know. It's a play with a kind of processus of racialization, you know, the creation with some figure of exception, the black people invader, or the white children of Morocco, the little criminal of Morocco, you know. And this new barbarian, in a way, is like a recall of the old barbarian of the town, because Melilla is a colony the 16th century, you know. So before the people of Maghreb was the barbarian of this town. So this town is always in confrontation with what she called the barbarian. And it's very interesting to try to approach these people, to try with these people to understand how the European policies work on this place, Melilla. What is the consequences of these policies on the place of Melilla? And it's terrible. In fact, it's terrible, I think. Nobody can say the opposite, I think. And it's not a dogmatic position, but the fact is terrible. One of the consequences of the policies is the death of the man, you know, of many, many, many people. Sub-Saharans sometimes are killed, you know. In June 2002, For the first time, 40 persons are killed. We are shot, and die in the border. You know, people from Sub-Saharan. Every week or every month, perhaps, some people from Morocco die in the sea, you know, because the young people try to reach Melilla sometimes by swimming from Morocco, Benyensa at the border to Melilla, or sometimes die in the port, in the water of the port when they try to climb on the boat. So one of the consequences, of course, the young people live in the streets. It's very shameful in a sense, and the young people, but the text say that the young people haven't the right to the state haven't the right to let the young people living in the streets, you know. And some people who are in the center for minor haven't the security to be after in Spain, you know, and to have the paper. So a lot of people prefer to stay in the street and try to climb on the boat. When they live in the street, they haven't some food. They are touched in their physical and psychological integrity. It's a place with a lot of racism against them. I try to show that in the film by some empty, sometimes streets, something like that. They are considered as some wild people, wild criminal. They all, it's a kind of anomaly, it's a kind of heresy, but it's the reality. And what it's interesting is to try to show this kind of reality, and in the same time, as I said, how the gesture of the people opened the world to something else. You know, to be with them, to understand the reality with them, help to understand how the world works, and how perhaps the world can be. You know, it's dialectical like that. I have an image. We say that the Araga means those who burn, you know. And we say that the Araga burned the sea. Burning the seas means, it's a metaphor. It's like when you burn, you know, the red light. It's a kind of transgression of the rules. But what our world, the main world, the main ideology do, actually, with the rise of the temperature, something like that? Literally, the Mediterranean Sea, a lot of journalists, and you have a lot of articles like that. This world, the main world, burned the sea also. The Mediterranean Sea is burning right now. The temperature is more and more high, very hot. So it's like, so you have two positions to burning the sea. The position of the Araga and the position of our world. What is the position the most interesting, not only for me, but also for the future of the humanity, is the position of the Araga, is not the position of the main world, you know? And what is behind the main world? The position, of course, an ideology, the ultra-liberalist, the idea to capitalize, to take a lot about the resources of the earth, etc. So this, to take care about just these young people that nobody cares about them, which come from the low classes of the Moroccan society, help us to understand the policies about immigration, but also how the world works, and in the same time how it could be. So these young Araga are not victims. There are a lot of experiences to share, but they are a kind of revelator, and at the same time a kind of sentinel, because they propose something very interesting, I think. And I propose with this film to give some visibility to their gesture, very visible in the space, for who make the effort to take care of them and try to understand what they have to say.
One of the phrases of
I didn't answer about the second part of your question, the poem. So after in the so I said that the Melilla is a colony, you know, it have a past of the colony. So it's interesting because by the step of the young people, you can discover the colonial past of the town, but in the same time, you can discover what are the policies right now. So you have a kind of connection between the past and the present, the colonialism and the post-colonialism in a sense. So in the film, I try to show that with them by the fact to follow their step, but in the same time, I try to show that by some images about some very historical place, statue, Sometimes I play in an ironic way with the some element. And it's very, for example, you mentioned this poem, you know, on the wall, but just after that, you have it's a kind of poem, but just in one word, it's the name of the town of one of the Araga. So in the poem, you have a declaration of love to the town of Melilla, and just in a very nice commemorative plaque, I don't know the word, your plaque, yeah. And just in the other side, you have a tag with, and it is Agadir. And it's very clear, it's like a dialectical images, you know, everything is said with just these images, you know, it's why I did it. And of course, I try to show, I try to show a part of what Nietzsche called the inactuality of Melilla, how the past is alive, how the past, some elements in the past are also present right now. For example, the house where Franco lived, because Melilla is the town where Franco started started the civil war in Spain, you know. And I make an images about the house where Franco lived before. Also with a kind of inscription of the town, you know. So when you speak with also the statue at the entry of the port. So now they erased the statue in 2021. But until 21, you had the statue of Franco. And they say, no, it's not Franco the dictator. It's Franco the liberator of Melilla during the guerre of the War of the Reef at the beginning of the century, you know. But Franco was there. And you have a lot of street with some name of the phalangist. Again, right now, you know, you have this big monument in Melilla with the eagles, you know, Todo por la Patria, with a soldier. It's a Franquist monument with a strange mixture because this town is always, they transform always this town, you know. You have many configuration of this town. And when I was there, they make a kind of reworking of the statue, and they create something very strange with the statue, this Franquist monument, and at the basis you have this kind of mosaic, like Gaudi mosaic. It's totally crazy, you know. It's a very strange town. Even when you walk in the street, you can see some Franquist monument, some Franquist construction, habitation, and some other one more which are a part of the historical and aesthetical history of the Spain architecture, you know, the architecture of the years 20 and 30, you know. It's a very strange town. Of course, surrounded for one side by the sea, and the other one by this big fence to try to stop the sub-Saharan or the Moroccan people. So this town is very emblematic in a way about what happened not only in Spain but also in Europe and also in the world. Because, for example, when the United States built the wall between Mexico and America, they came in Melilla to understand and to see how they manage the fence. Melilla is one of the most secure place in the world, you know. So, it was interesting for many reasons to try to make a work in this place and salute in the same time the beauty of the gesture of these children, which have a lot to say. Yeah.
Actually, I was saying that one of the phrases that hit me the most of the boys was when he said, "I'm used to get kicked or, you know, used to violence by other people, that is verbally or physical." And when they describe the police, how they treat them and they kick them on the street, and they try to emulate that to understand how other people should have, you know, perceive that. So, I mean, it's also, you know, this, like you said, there is this dichotomy that you are showing us, like the political commentary on one side and the poetic on the other side, because there are many visual elements. Yeah. The fact that you said about the sea and the city, that is like a patchwork, you know, a culture of things that are not longer, you know, staying together so easily. And so, well, I was impractical, you know, your collaboration with these guys, with these children, with these young people during, you know, all the shooting, and at the end, how you felt, you know, when your project ends. But I know there is a larger project that you are working on, so if you can say something about that too.
Yeah. What I said, I try to explain, in fact, to indicate that the purpose is to understand how this kind of policies work, but how this kind of policies work on the ground, with them, to try to understand and discover the reality with them. I don't make a film on the children, I make a film with them about the consequences of the European policies, and with them about what could be some new policies or what could be some new proposal to live in the world. With them, you know, it's very important. And what I discover, so with them I try to discover the reality of Melilla, you know, and some of a part of the reality. I try to make a kind of deconstruction of the main representation and build with them some new presentation of the reality. And what I had discovered is what you said. It's the violence, and the violence have many forms in media. It's the violence, psychological violence, physical violence, and of course, this kind of people, these children, have to manage and live with this violence, with sometimes anger, with pain, with humor. For example, at one moment, I don't remember if you remember these images, you have two symphonic scenes about the risk in the port. And in the second one, a security guard in the port say to someone to get out, with a gesture with his finger like that. And what the guys did at this moment, he repeat the gesture with the finger to the other one. But it was really a kind of burlesque scene, you know. You can see in this scene the birth of the burlesque in as Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin did it, you know. It's really, and I really understand. Of course, I knew that a little bit, but I verify the deep political strong of the burlesque with this scene, you know, how the burlesque is really, of course, poetic, but also very politics, you know, this gesture of the guys, how he said, like, the way how he moved, it was like Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin in a sense, you know, and it was very, very interesting for me. So, and it's one of the examples how they manage the violence, because of course, they have a lot of injury, they have to live with the humiliation, because it's a kind of, it's really an humiliation to be beaten by the guard, and also to receive the insult, you know, always, you know, by the military, by the police, by the guard, but also by the population, you know. It's a very, very complicated situation and violent situation. And in a way, the film is not only like that. I don't want to qualify the film like that, but we can say that with them, I can build a kind of visual critical of the violence. You know, the film is also something like that, to try to build a visual critical of the violence in Melilla or of the European policy, in a sense. But not in a didactic or proselytism way. You know, I'm not interested by that. I think that people are enough mature adults to have their own position. So the film is not, I don't make the film to convince anybody, you know. I make the films to take my own position, you know, to engage in interrogation of my position in the world as a human being, as a filmmaker, to engage a process of definition of my subjectivity, you know, and to not live with some habit, to escape about the spirit of the time, you know, and to try to be on the move, you know, and sharing the experiences of Melilla with these children is a way, again, to take position and to discover some new way of living.
Thank you so much. We've been with Sylvain George for Noir Obscur, Au revoir et sinon Porto. Thank you so much. Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.